Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now, my good buddy from the AP. He is Ralph Russo. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right.
I'm doing well. We're actually not far away from the official start of the college football season in general, Saturday, August 26th. Not a lot of key marquee matchups. Stanford does take on Rice at 10 o'clock at night on ESPN. But that following week, that Thursday, you've got some better matchups as well in college football. But the season is right around the corner.
Yeah, you know, it's as you said, there's not quite as last year's that first weekend schedule, that first Labor Day weekend was really loaded. It's not quite as tantalizing. But as you said, you know, Alabama and Florida State start the season. It could be a 1-2 matchup, maybe a 1-3 matchup to start the season. Florida-Michigan's an interesting one because I think both teams are going to be good, but I think that we're all sort of curious at just how good. And the winner of that game all of a sudden becomes a team where you go, oh, okay, well, maybe they're going to be a little better than we thought. UCLA-Texas, say A&M is an interesting one. West Virginia and Virginia Tech is a pretty interesting one as well. Again, a couple of teams that will probably start the season in the top 25. So, again, maybe not quite the greatest opening weekend ever like last season was billed, but there's going to be some pretty significant matchups early on.
It certainly are. The one, of course, Alabama-FSU is what I'm looking at. And one of the teams I saw, you know, is very highly touted this year, and their quarterback is in the Heisman conversation, is USC. What do you think about them? They were good. I think they're one of the best teams in the country last year that kind of took people by surprise. But they're number four in the coaches poll right now.
Yeah, they finished number three last year, which was in the AP poll, which was the highest a team with three losses had ever finished in the AP poll. Now, part of that was because a lot of teams had two losses last year. There wasn't a lot of, you know, a lot of teams that took a lot of losses last year. But the difference was Sam Darnold. You know, Sam Darnold comes in the fourth game of the season. They lose that game to Utah, but don't lose another game again. And, I mean, he became one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He's a guy who I think everybody in the NFL is sort of looking at as maybe he could be the number one overall pick last year. They were a very different team without him. I think there's still some question marks of how good and deep their defense is. But he's going to be looking for some new receivers, Darnold, to throw to. That should be okay. USC's always got kids who can catch the ball. The offensive side should be really good. I think depending on how good the defensive side is, should determine are they just Pac-12 championship good or could they conceivably win a national championship.
Here with Ralph Russo from the AP. Ralph, a little bit earlier we talked about Houston Nutt. He wants Ole Miss to apologize to him and also donate $100,000 to a panel in Mississippi. But the bigger question is this. Is that program in trouble, and can that trouble off the field lead to some on-the-field issues as well?
Yeah, you know, I think so. Listen, they are probably going to find out if all goes well, and you never know with these NCAA cases. Sometimes things get delayed and new issues come up. That's been the case with Ole Miss. Every time they think that they're, okay, we know what's happened, we're done, let's figure out what the result will be, something else sort of pops up. And they have to go back in, and the NCAA does some reinvestigating. So they seem to be past that, and they could know the sanctions as early as October or November, which means that you get to the point when you actually have to look and hire a new coach to replace Hugh Freeze permanently, and you at least know what your sanctions are, right? You can go to the guy and say, "Listen, here's our problem," but at least we know that those problems are there; they're on the table. I think the bigger issue for them on the field becomes you've already are in a season where you have no postseason. Mm-hmm. They banned themselves from a bowl last year. Now you have an interim coach. What happens the first game or two, when things go awry for that team,
yep.
those players have almost no motivation to keep focus and to keep their heads together. I mean, the kids who are upperclassmen are probably going to be like, hey, I'm out of here. Like, why do I have to listen to this guy? So that's the biggest issue Ole Miss has on the field. They've got some talent, but who knows how you're going to keep that group
yeah.
focused on the season.
Well, if we're talking about coaching, the number 8 team in the preseason poll has their coach retired. Bob Stoops retires from Oklahoma. 18 seasons, wins 10 Big 12 titles, national championship, plays for 3 more. How big an impact is that? And were you surprised when he said he wasn't going to coach anymore?
You know, surprised on one hand because they literally kept it under wraps and all of a sudden, bang, you know, it was something that sort of came up at a weird time. So, yes, surprised. Not surprising if you sort of know Bob Stoops. And he's a guy who I think has always been inclined to sort of enjoy his life and not necessarily feel that work has to dominate every aspect. So he's done a lot. He's made a lot of money. He's got a couple of sons who are twins and really good football players and are still in high school. He can go watch those kids play. The other thing is the program's in really good shape, and I think that was part of the calculus too there. The program's in good shape. They've got a guy on staff in Lincoln Riley who they promoted, who they really liked. It became very apparent that the plan was to, at some point, Stoops hand it over to Riley. The fact that they did it this soon was a little surprising. And here's the thing. Again, Oklahoma is pretty well set to be very good this year. I do think when you have a 33-year-old in his first job as a head coach, you have to at least temper that to a certain degree and say, you know, are there going to be missteps along the way that could cost Oklahoma a game or two? I think Riley has a chance to be a fabulous coach, and he's been a great offensive coordinator. But anytime you have some kind of transition at the top, I think it leaves you a little vulnerable.
Rob, before you get out of here, give me your top 5.
I'll do Alabama, Florida State, USC, Ohio State, and Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, okay, you got them.
Didn't really
there, huh?
Sell that one very well.
Yeah, you didn't. You didn't at all. I guess because maybe you haven't.
No, well, you know what? Actually, take Oklahoma out of there. I'll throw Washington as number 5.
Yeah, my top 5: Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Florida State, USC.
Yeah, and I'm probably slighting Clemson a little bit too. I worry about their quarterback issues and losing all that offensive production. But the fact of the matter is, Dabo's been recruiting great over the last few years.
One quick before I get one before I let you go. How do the USF? This is a fairly new program, and they're in the top 25 again. How do they make this program so relevant so quickly?
You know, they were relevant very quickly under Jim Leavitt, and then they sort of bounced and they sort of faded out a little bit for a couple of years there when they in the post Leavitt era. Hey, listen. When you're in the middle of Florida and the school's in Tampa, you can find players.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, they've got pretty nice facilities. They play in an NFL stadium, which sort of hurts on one hand, can help in the other. But I think the fact of the matter is if you're fairly well-run, if you've got a coach who knows what he's doing and you're in the middle of Florida, you'll be able to win some games.
Yeah, more NFL players than any state except California.
Yeah, you get the third best, fourth best players, you're still doing pretty good.
No doubt, no doubt.
Hey. You have a good day there, Ralph Russo.
Hey, thanks for voting, Rob. I appreciate it.
No problem. No problem.
See you, man.
All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.